please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, as we go through our standard process, as you know, there's a question and comment period for tonight's agenda only. Then there's a question and comment period for items outside the agenda. Before we get to that, I'd like to just read a statement that we put together with our thoughts. I've shared it with board members here. So with regard to the vote yesterday, I'd like to say that I absolutely appreciate that so many people took the time to vote. We have heard the community, and we'll evaluate our options to ensure that much-needed work be addressed for our district in a manner that the community will support. To that end, tonight we are going to reconstitute the Facilities Committee and task the committee with preparing a long-term maintenance plan. We will then assess during our busy winter and spring budget preparation whether and which of the critical items we can address from our operating budget. At the same time, we will work with the administration to identify the specific reasons that the facilities project failed. We anticipate that we will prepare a number of surveys seeking input from the community to help better guide us in our planning process. I believe that there is a path forward to improve our facilities and that altogether we will be successful in defining that path. So that brings us to questions and comments regarding items on tonight's agenda. And we're going to limit tonight questions to one topic, one question per person, and a three-minute period of time for your question. Is there any questions on tonight's agenda?
Yes, Larry Pasciuti. Just a specific question about item 11 on the agenda, the contract section. Excuse me. And it states, upon the recommendation of the superintendent of school, the board approves the contracts discussed in executive session. And I can stop right there. Once again, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I have to voice my concerns about the use of executive session in the board. I went through the agendas, I went through the minutes, both audio and written, for the last three or four meetings. Never once was the issue to discuss contracts in executive sessions brought up when you voted to go into executive session. Okay? Once again, the board is using executive session to discuss what they want as opposed to following the open meetings law. And if you don't have it, I have copies of the open meetings law for the board to peruse. There are specific reasons and procedures that you need to follow when you go into executive session. And it's my feeling that the board is not doing that at this point, which goes to the transparency and the trust that this community has in the board. So I will ask again, as a resident of the community and a concerned citizen, to please use the tool of executive session with much more discretion than you've been using.
Thank you. Are there any other questions on tonight's agenda?
Motion
to adopt the minutes of the regular meeting, November 20th, 2014.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resignation.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee for a leave of absence, which is in compliance with the terms and conditions of the Center Merge's FMLA policy.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employee to return to service.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2014-2015 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teacher and support staff vacancies for 2014-2015. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments. To this, I had another election inspector be unable to fulfill yesterday's duties, and so I'm asking that Ann Sherman be appointed. She graciously stepped in for it. So it will be Robert Romano and Ann Sherman.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the results of the December 9, 2014 capital bond vote. Bond proposition number 1, $18,850,000, defeated 332 to 631. Bond proposition number 2, $1,050,000, defeated 202 to 732.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the contracts discussed in executive session and authorizes the board president to sign such contracts.
Motion.
Josh.
Yes.
Honestly, based off of last night's results, I think we should table this for further discussion.
Okay. Let me just...
Do I break the rules?
Motion to adjourn to executive session to discuss these contracts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
It's easier for us to adjourn.
Yeah, yeah, we'll leave. You can stay here.
We'll go.
Yeah,
stay.
No, that's you say. That's not right.
Motion to come out of executive session back into public session.
Motion.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carried.
You don't have to reread, Pat.
Okay, so there's an outstanding motion. On the
motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Okay.
Keep going.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the treasurer's report for the month of October 2014.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the student activity treasurer's report for the middle school and the high school for the month of October 2014.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
The Board of Education has appointed an independent claims auditor to review bills and authorize the processing of payment during the period between Board of Education meetings. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the report by the independent claims auditor for the month of November 2014 and authorizes payment of the monthly bills listed on warrants for the month of November 2014 as audited by the independent claims auditor as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following donations. Do you want me to read them?
Yeah, I'd like you to.
Okay, donation of $1,000 from Bay Gas Service in Shirley to the High School Robotics Club. Donation of a new, oh my, Diamond Heart 2SP flute to the music department by Miss Lynn Dennis, approximate value $479. donation of a Delta contractor's table saw to the Central Merchants School District by Mr. William Corey, approximate value $600. Donation of Tri-M senior pins valued at $263 for use by the music department from the Santa Merch's PTA. Donation of learning center equipment and supplies valued at $1,372.34 for use by Clayton Huey Elementary School from the Santa Merch's PTA.
Motion.
Motion and thank you.
Second.
Second. Thank you.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much for all of the donations. As we said, the support from the community is absolutely necessary. Thank you.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the months of October and November for the 2014-2015 school year.
You skipped one.
Did I? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Disposition of records.
And it was an exciting one, too. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the disposition of books and equipment.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Try this again. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the months of October and November for the 2014-2015 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second, but I'm just going to ask a question. Because I wasn't here last time, so I apologize. Did we not do a recommendation for last agenda? Just because it's October and November. That's my question. I mean, usually it's month by month. That's why I was a little confused. Usually we just do it by the month.
Yeah.
Did you guys not do it last time? That's what I don't remember. That's all right. I'm just asking.
No, no.
I was just curious.
We did one last. November 20th, going for the months of October and November. What was that? Maybe there was more.
Yeah, maybe there was one date.
Might have been addition. It could have been rescheduled dates and yeah. Stuff like that. So.
Let's just look for sure.
Yeah, it was an October meeting date.
Okay.
So it's from the last meeting in October through now. That's why it's October and November.
Yeah, usually they're by the month. That's why I asked.
No, that's a good question. But yeah, they're all at that very last meeting, after the last meeting in October until now.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Second. Do we have a motion?
I second it. I just said discussion, so now.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education conducts a third meeting of the following policy and subsequently moves to adopt the policy.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the creation of the following committee for the 2014-2015 academic year, Facility Advisories Committee.
Are you going to do all of 20 without the people, or should we?
There should be two. This one.
Okay. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second. But discussion?
Discussion, yep.
Can people join us? So if one of the community members come to me and say, are people still allowed to join this committee?
I would love for people to join this committee.
Okay.
I don't see any reason
HR.
That
That's
we
all.
Would ever. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely.
And my name is not on that voice.
We don't want you to be on the committee.
There you go. Okay. Good. One less night out.
That's what they said.
So we have second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion
yes.
Carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following individuals for the 2014-2015 Facility Advisories Committee.
So we have a list of names we'd like to add. Can we add Wendy's name to that list?
And you can add my name, too.
Yep. And if there's anybody else, just to save kind of the administrative burden, that would like to be on the Facilities Advisory Committee, I would love to have those names provided. Okay.
First name and last name for Pat.
First,
spelling.
Yeah. First name, last name.
I know, but I want to make sure.
Darrell, D-A-R-R-E-L-L. Last name is Ill, I-E-A.
All in, I'm sorry.
Are we still
yes.
Annette Rank?
Annette Rank. Melissa Collins. Can you spell it?
M-E-L-I-S-S-A-C-O-H-E-N.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Jenica?
So we have a second? Is that we had a motion and a second, or not yet? Motion? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following individual for the 2014-2015 curriculum committee.
Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Is that 20B?
That was
20B. Yeah.
Yep.
That brings us to the general discussion section of our agenda. So this is general discussion of the board, and then we'll have questions and comments not relating to the agenda that people can ask. So we put the Facility Advisory Committee on the general discussion, and my thinking is that the kind of the charge the Facility Advisory Committee is to, as I read at the beginning, do the five-year assessment in light of the bond vote and where we are today, and come up with recommendations to the board as to what needs to get done, so that when we go through our budget, we have an understanding of exactly what needs to get done, we can get costs and understand exactly what those things cost and make informed decisions. I think that's kind of the very first task of this Facilities Advisory Committee. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to add to that?
No, I just, in going back in what you wrote, and I know that last year, and I'm not sure, Josh, if you were present when I had mentioned this, I hope that we can somehow interweave this. I still would really like to ask some very poignant questions to the community, so even the Facilities Committee has that information. Like, why this is like a group of esteemed people that have been working on this. Clearly, there's other points of view that we need to hear, or perhaps there's other individuals. Even like when I look at this list here, I would love to have some of the contractors in town that work here to even give us feedback in regards to, I know some of the issues that came up were, how much does this cost, or how much does that cost? And I'll just, you know, clearly we all know the contractors that live here and work here in Santa Mariches. I don't know if any of them would be interested, if we should be reaching out to them. But I think perhaps developing a survey, and I'd be glad to work on that, soliciting more active listening in regards to what are people really looking for in regards to, you know, priorities.
I think the survey is absolutely necessary. I don't know that the survey is a facilities committee, is necessarily a facilities committee item at this point. I think initially, we should, exactly like you said, we should put together a survey so that we can go out to the community and understand from more than the 7 people or 10 people or 15 people that come to facilities committee meetings what they think, why, and you know, it's very important for me to understand why people voted the way that they voted. And you know, I don't know that we're going to get that from 10 members of the facilities committee, the 10 people that are 15 or 20, however many there are that show up. I think it's important that we get 1,000 responses. We had 1,000 people come out and vote, and I think it's important that we prepare the survey in a way such that we get true and accurate answers. I mean, there's 10 different reasons that people voted the way that they voted, and mm-hmm. we need to understand that so that when we consider how to move forward, we can take all of that into account. But I think that the very first action of the Facilities Committee needs to be, what do we need to absolutely do right now and that five-year plan so that we can work that into our budget? And it's very different today than it would be if the bond was voted through, because there would be a different, you know, higher level, longer term types of things than in the case that we're in now.
But we definitely need the pulse of the community, because that's going to dictate a lot of how we do things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Pat, would you put my name there, please? Would you put my name on that?
Tom?
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, so the scope of the facilities committee is more of the longer term plan as well as what we need to immediately focus on, and we will, as a board, discuss, we'll begin to prepare a survey that kind of gets at exactly where the focus needs to be, why people vote the way that they vote, so that we can properly figure out what to focus on going forward. Next item is the budget development calendar. So we circulated a calendar, and I don't have it in front of you. Circulated a calendar as to our Board of Education meetings and what we're going to present as the budget season starts. And the very first meeting of that is January 28, 2015. And what we've said throughout the process is that, you know, we don't have a budget committee per se, but we were going to implement kind of a budget 101 and also task an interested group of people in focusing on a specific area of the budget to kind of help us see if we're doing everything right and make suggestions. Is that something that the board thinks is a good thing to do?
It's a good approach.
Okay.
And we'll tweak it as we need to. Mm-hmm.
How would that be incorporated into the calendar?
Well, that's the question.
Well, if I can make one suggestion, I know I made it last year, and I think when I look at this, and I mean absolutely no disrespect, I've been to a lot of board meetings that are not in Centrum Riches, that are all over Suffolk County. I think that sometimes when I sat in the public and I watched the administration go through some of this and equipment, et cetera, I don't need to hear about that. As far as I'm concerned, we develop a budget. If we don't need any more desks, no more children are arriving. Those are things that we kind of spend a tremendous amount of time. We need to know about teachers, FTEs. We need to know about the things that are going to make the differences, not about miscellaneous stuff. And sometimes there's a textbook fund, there's this fund. I feel like we go through the same process every year. Well, we're not really spending money here, and we're not really spending money there. That's well and good. Most school districts do not lay things out like this. I know as an administrator, I'm told what I can spend. I don't present. I've never presented in Satcham, William Floyd, any of those districts I've ever worked in, Mattituck. I've never presented to the Board of Education because I've been told what the budget is. Basically, the Board of Education worked on the budget, and we had so much money we were going to spend. And if we had a rationale as to why we needed extra equipment for something, that was presented way before this presentation would happen. So sometimes I feel like we're spending a tremendous amount of time on stuff that we can go through a lot quicker and get to the important stuff. So when we talk about Budget 101, I think the community has spoken very loud and clear that they want to understand it. They want to be part of it. And I can remember former, you know, people being up here asking about shades one time that went on and on and on for 20 minutes. And as a participant, I went, oh, come on, that's not what this is about. So when I look at this, I mean, I just hope, Mr. Stewart, we can scale this stuff down to the meat. The meat is the personnel, the FTEs, how many children we have sitting in sections and how many teachers we need, because most of the budget is driven by personnel. What is the percentage in this district? About 75%.
And I think that you have to start, when we start there, it is what's mandated.
Yep.
And what's not mandated, because there are things that are mandated that we must have that don't really warrant spending an enormous amount of time talking about, because there's nothing that you can do about that. So it's really the focus is on those things that are not mandated. But I think that comes, I agree with everything you're saying, by the way, but I think that comes separate or second to, here's how we go through the budget process. Here's what we believe we want to do. Here are the things, community, we can't focus on. And here are the non-mandated things that we can.
Correct.
And again, to, you know, and I think it was Mr. Romano that had raised it, you know, if he were interested, but here are those things that we believe, you know, here are the three categories, for example, that we would like community support on or community input on. Please focus on those and give us some thoughts, and we can kind of go through that process. So I think that that's kind of day one, and then you'd have, to your point, do we need to hear from, you know, X on these different things? That should all be kind of in a more concise manner, I think.
In let me just say, in some of the districts, though, you're talking about staffing, and I agree, staffing and enrollment.
They always present staffing.
I don't know if that's something that you want to look at first before you look at the rest of the budgets. But all districts go through all of those categories it may be consolidated, but they do go through the categories to see, like I say,
they go through the categories, but the administration doesn't present it all the time.
It depends. It depends on the district.
Right.
This district always has. I mean, we could always change it.
Well, that's what I'm asking for. Right. I'm asking because I think I really want to get to the meat and the potatoes, and I don't want the administration to have to do anything that's not necessary for them to do. You know, and I feel bad because they're going, well, you know, we didn't really need any desks, so we didn't. They don't have to discuss that kind of stuff. You know, that's not when people come out and they're giving up their night instead of doing something at home. I want it to have complete value when they come up here. So to really get to the heart of it, and like what Josh is saying, these are the things that are mandated that we definitely have to do. These are the things that are maybe extra and they're good for kids. So everyone understands why going into the budget process that maybe it's not mandated, but the reality is it's good for our students and it's good for our community. And that's why we're keeping them in the budget. That way people don't say, well, how come they never discussed this, or how come they didn't, you know, tell us why they kept it in the budget. Desks and stuff like that. Well, you know, and I sat out there for many years, and I don't know if I necessarily heard that all
the
time.
What I would say is this. What we did for you tonight, what each board member has in front of them, we took the process from last year, and we just kind of pushed it and rolled it over to what you have in front of you right now. In the past, the board has asked us to go through every single item. At no point in time did they want the community, which I understand, but don't get me wrong, I'm just expressing facts here. They wanted us to talk about every single advisor, every single sports team, all of the desks, all of the printing costs, all of those things. On the one you have in front of you right now, March 11th, is staffing.
Right.
On this one. It is absolutely 75% of the budget, and absolutely that and contracts and things of those nature push the budget. We can, without a doubt, the board is very clear, and the board wishes us to say, you know what, we want you to start with staffing, and then if you want to eliminate presentations by the administrators here, we can surely do that, as long as this community realizes that, you know, other items will not be out there, right? Because we're not going to be presenting, which you're right, the small stuff, and taking that time. But right now, starting, and we adopt this budget usually, I held back because I thought this is why I put this on the agenda tonight, because I didn't want to just, you know, think that I, you know, want to push it forward. But you have a January budget draft.
See, Josh and I are already thinking the same. So what we're thinking, Mr. Stewart, is if we can put staffing up. What is confusing when you're sitting out there is when you hit staffing later on. So the administration has talked about their buildings, but it doesn't quite all make sense. And then we bring up staffing.
We'd rather start
with staffing.
And we have no problem. We will absolutely do that. What happens
because then that supports what, say, Mr. Caswell's saying. So here's your staffing, and then he's saying, this is how I'm utilizing that staffing.
The board wishes to push it up. The only way we have it that way is the reason. It's because if Mr. Caswell gets up there and he begins to talk about American Sign Language and he pushes to have those electives in his master schedule, then that will drive the discussion in staffing. I can do it the opposite way, which is, again, fine. We speak with them. I have, before every one of these, the administrators present in front of the district office way before, a week before it comes here. And we begin to, at that point in time, have discussions with them and move forward. But at this point, if you want, we can just put staffing up to the front. We can start from there. And I would just ask the board, from that point forward, in public, give us clear direction on what you want us to discuss or present in public to the community.
Why do we do it? And it may be an accounting-based answer, but why do we do it in this way rather than more programmatic? So, for example, in your sign language example, you need one head for that, you need one teacher, you need, you know, whether it's a license for software, whatever it is, that program costs us X. Do we want that program? Not, the teacher costs us X, and then later, well, wait a minute, we got to buy these books, and why is it separated that way?
It's just that, you know, one, I believe, is the concept and the principle coming up, and a lot of times, go ahead, Mr. Caswell, you want
to? Sure.
You told him he has to go to the mic.
street legal now? We're good?
Yes.
All right. One of the reasons we did staffing in March is because we start the scheduling process in January, and student requests are not in the computer until February break, and we really have a chance to really figure out what enrollment is in terms of course requests by March. So that's why. So if I need extra sections, I have a better idea instead of just guessing in January.
How often does that change? So is it an extra section of, you know, an additional class, or is it a whole other program?
Well, unfortunately, it's not an exact science because schedules requests change through the whole process, which really runs through the entire summer. But we have a working idea of what's going on in terms of student requests really by March. That's why Mr. Stewart always put it on March, because he would always press me, because I'm really driving a lot of this. Ms. Caswell, I need those numbers. I'm like, okay, I'm getting them in, because we start. Actually, I started the middle school this week. We did presentations, and we're going to get our requests in a little early at the middle school because it's an easier process. But we're starting when we get back from the holiday break, January 6th, going into classes and getting the scheduling process going there. So that was the only reason we did that, because we'll have a little bit better understanding of what it is we really may need.
I mean, that makes sense. What I'm trying to kind of think through is when you have these, and again, I'm going to go back to put aside staffing for a second, but those mandatory programs, which staffing will be a large part, you know these are mandatory, and we know our costs for that, for the staffing for that program. And then we know that means that that's grown by X percentage over this year, let's just say. So what is left? You know, we have a tax cap, and we have a Board of Education goal limited to 1.5. What is left? So that when we look at each of the other categories, which is the large percentage of where we have to find it, for lack of a better term, we know what we're dealing with better.
Yeah, and I mentioned electives. You know, kindergarten's non-mandatory. Certain librarians, non-mandatory. Nurses, non-mandatory. We get into a lot of positions by New York State law is non-mandatory.
Right.
We don't have to have them. We presume, and maybe we shouldn't be sometimes, that, you know, we kind of roll that over because we've had it the year before, it was successful, and, you know, that's the way we can do it again.
I think that's part of the decision-making process, is to see what must we have? What is completely out of our hands? And then those categories, some of which, you know, you will never give up because they're that important, but even though they're not required, but what is on that right column?
Last year, if I'm not mistaken, tell me if I'm wrong, Carol. Last year, we had the non-mandatory and mandatory mm-hmm. parts of the budget completely.
We identified
it in the book. In the personal.
Yes, in every piece. That's what we did last year, mm-hmm. and we certainly could do that this year as well. You know, so you're able to see that. The question is, and again, for me, it can go either way. I don't think the principals will be against not having to sit up here in front of the public and explain, you know, from the bottom up. But we have talked a lot about, you know, zero base. You should be starting at a zero base and working your way that way. And that's kind of what they do is to us.
I say you start at a mandatory base. It's not zero, it's a mandatory base, and then you're working effectively.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but we can do staffing first. Again, it's the way.
I'm not saying that staffing has to be first, but I think we need to understand that. And to Mr. Caswell's point, certainly
made sense.
There will be tweaks. It makes sense to do the staffing later. But I think that at least to roll over the mandatories that you've got in the first instance.
Right.
But we shouldn't. Don't miss what Kristen said initially. It's our job, you know, working with administration to set a number. And then that's the number that we try to work from. Now, if we have to adjust it, we adjust it, obviously. But we set that number, and then we pull the mandates out. That lowers the number of available funds that we have out there. Then administration has their numbers that they can then apply, and that's when they come back to us and say, it's not enough, or it's too much. I don't think we'll hear that. It'd be great, though. But we can't lose sight of the fact that's our jobs.
Yeah, but usually, Gary, you already gave me your answer in the beginning of the year when you all said you must come 1.5% or lower, right? That's your ultimate number. The Board of Education for the next 5 years is 1.5 and lower. Agreed. So I'm at a good starting point. As we start breaking it down for the buildings of whether or not we look at something, the middle school versus the high school, I kind of lean on administration and start saying to them, I don't like to give them a specific dollar amount because sometimes things shift from one building to the other.
That's why especially said, you know, staff. That's when they come back.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, yeah, 1.5 or lower. You know what? If we can come in at 1.1,
yeah.
In my opinion, a lot better than 1.5.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I mean,
they used to that.
We do finance policy. That's right. What we're always told. I mean, those are our primary objectives and jobs.
Yeah.
Finance.
4 years ago, when the board, just so you know, 4 years ago, when we had these presentations, we were told, don't limit the administrators at all. We want them to come up here and show us what they mm-hmm. feel is best for the students, and don't worry at that point in time when they present if they ask for a Latin teacher. Let them do that. Let them stand there. This year, Mr. Thode is going to recommend a cheerleading coach at the middle school level. I'm sure of that. I believe he's going to recommend a winter track team for the high school. So there are items that he's going to recommend. Sometimes what happens in the early stages is if we realize we're already starting over and we're at 3%, those recommendations are great, but they don't always come to fruition in the end. I don't want to give anybody false hope, and I like to make it as clear as possible. I like, and again, I've been in four different school districts and have seen it multiple ways. I'm sure you would agree it was done multiple ways. But we can do it anyway. I like the community to see every single dime. But you make a lot of sense, Dr. Turner. I see saying, well, you're kind of talking about that for hours, and I don't want to talk about blinds to hours. I respect that, but that's a board's decision if that's your wishes. And we can find out as we go along.
I do like hearing from the principals and the different people in charge, so just my two cents. They can present it differently, but I appreciated having everybody present their building and their passion and all of that over the years. So.
But that is why I put it on tonight, because I wanted all of you to talk about it as a board and kind of make sure you give us clear direction, because I don't want to presume anything. We normally would just put this on the agenda. It would have been approved tonight. I told Ms. Perkins I was uncomfortable with that, let the board kind of flush it out, kind of decide which direction they want us to go. Zero-based, staffing first, parent-child home program second, or whatever you want. If not at all, that's fine as well. You just got to make sure that you're clear on what you want from us. And you have time. We don't have to make a decision tonight, but if you want staffing, we need to begin, and I would go with the unfunded right mandate.
Well, that's not, I want to get back to that. I'm still not clear.
We did it last year, we'll do it again.
Josh looked at this, like security. Okay. Security is going to be pretty much the same that it is this year, and I'm just going to make it up. If we have 10 people this year, undoubtedly we'll probably, unless something, which the board should already be aware of, if you came to us and you said this whole year we really didn't have enough security, we should already know that before we get to this, where we went, oh, by the way, this year we're going to need two more. So that's why I said it's staffing in some of these cases is above this. When we get to security, we had 10 last year, we have 10 this year. Some things do roll over. There are certain things. If your classes are consistently around 125 kids, you're going to have about the same kind of classes. It's not going to go crazy. You know, so some, that's why I said some of the, and I don't mean all of it, but when I look at it, like computer technology, curriculum, that's after staffing. You know what I mean? Because those are decisions we make, because staffing has to happen. Right. Like, that's why I look at, those are the non-negotiables.
I can do that so early. It's not a problem. The board wishes that. You mentioned security. Last year, we had a major discussion on security last year, and we ended up adding a full-time security through the discussion in Mr. Townsend's presentation. But
correct.
If you want staffing first, board,
I knew that that was coming based on what happened, the incident that happened last year at Sandy Hook.
Right.
Okay? That pushed that security conversation. That put every school district first and foremost. So when we talked about security, when we came to the budget last year, I knew that. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying as being in the public, you know, last year you were here.
Yeah, last year I was here.
But the public
saying.
Got to hear that. If I just push it the way I'm going to push it, they might not hear that. I just don't want anybody to miss anything. I personally would recommend, and I'm just going to say it here, for the record, I would recommend Joe Townsend standing up there.
I'm not saying that differently. All I'm saying is the order of the presentation.
Okay.
That's all. I'm not saying that I don't want to hear from the administration or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is some of the stuff, they don't have to put on a slide. If we're not going to change that's why I use the word desks or equipment. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to say, oh, by the way, we decided not to use the money in that allocation. Like, if we're still purchasing desks, then possibly we should be talking about that. We should know that now. Like, do we have all these broken desks? Or those are conversations that maybe should wind up in our board packet, like when we see them every weekend.
That's part of the facilities looking through that, or what do we
right.
need? But I'm still not clear. Maybe you answered the question. Maybe you didn't, and I missed it. Why aren't these things programmatic versus?
First of all, accounting wise,
it's accounting,
we
right?
don't do it that way. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
We do it by department. It's
a department code, department. So it's staffing falls here. So it just, mm-hmm. and I have to say, sitting there, it made it extremely confusing for me. And maybe that's the way that it's always done, and I just have to ask the question each time. Well, what program does this person tie into? So when you look at the, you know, aggregate cost of, you know, what I'm just looking at something.
Well, you could look at, say, technology.
Technology, and you say, well, the licenses are here, but then the staffing for the person falls somewhere
right.
else.
Right.
It's very hard to say if that's a, you know, hey, should we, what's this, what's the value and the cost of this program? Mm-hmm. So how is there a way that as we go through each individual thing, like, so, for example, you know, Ms. Hardwick goes through the Clayton Huey Elementary School supplies that she needs. Maybe this is a bad example, but if there is a smaller program, if there's less of a program, perhaps our supply number is lower.
But until you see the whole picture, once you see the whole picture, then you can decide, the board starts deciding what they feel. If they're above the 1.5%, then they might say, okay, we have to start deciding from this point what's not going to be in it. But you need to see the whole picture.
Yeah,
so everybody presents, we can do staffing first, then have each principal present to, of course, like I said, they do a presentation to us first, then they come here, they do a presentation, and then the board sees the whole picture. Because they'll watch just Mr. Caswell present and not wait for Mr. Soto. You will not make cuts when Mr. Caswell presents, whether you know it's a staffing implication or not. Because once you have to wait for Mr. Soto, and then you're able to see the whole picture and say, okay, now I get it. We'll do staffing first. How about we do staffing first?
I think if you give Russell the bigger picture, like in other words, and listen, look at the big districts. They don't present every single building. Sachem does not present 18 buildings.
Right.
They don't. They present the high school, and they do it
right.
completely different. I've been
right.
there. But all I'm saying is if people see the bigger picture overall, then when these things break down, and I gave examples in John Allen's district, Bayshore does an unbelievable job as far as laying out, and I know John has seen it as a taxpayer. I think some of the information gets confusing, and I really want everyone in our town to support our budget. And I mean, that's really my goal. I want people to go, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense to me. I get it. I'm on board. I don't want us to miss a beat, especially because of what happened last night. So I want to make sure that we are upfront, that we discuss things that are pertinent. And like when Josh says programmatic, when we talk about, you know, there, you know, a teacher in a building, a reading teacher, well, what does that mean? If we're talking about computer software, is that linked to a teacher, or is that software in a classroom where that teacher in the classroom is utilizing it? I think that's where sometimes we need more clarity.
I just want to make sure the Board of Education is very clear in public exactly what they want us to do. We will follow your wishes. I did presentations as a principal of a very large high school. In the budget cycle, and it was in charge for 18 years. So I understand.
As part of that, so when you did that, are you presenting that we should, as a principal, we should maintain, you know, sign language, and we should maintain this and that, and the cost? You're not presenting
on
the.
I did not present on the staffing. Usually, the staffing again, it could be done different ways. The staffing was done as a whole. I, as a principal, went forth. And, of course, I tried to, because you never know where it's going to land. And sometimes I knew there were things that were going to be cut. But if I wanted American Sign Language, if I wanted Latin or certain things in my curriculum, and I felt it was so important, I'd make that recommendation. And you would know, because I'll give you all the backup, and say, wow, last year he had, you know, 14 electric classes. This year he's asking for 17. That's three extra. So he's asking for, you know, a 0.6 of an FTE.
So he's getting information. Because
right,
the
right. So that usually.
And that's
but what I will do then, if you want it staffing first, I will go to the administrators. We will talk in AC, and we'll have a discussion about staffing as a whole. We will do the best we can and come back to the Board of Education and show you how we feel it's going to play out. You won't know why exactly, because the presentation on the Latin teacher or something will come from Mr. Caswell after. But if you feel more comfortable with that, certainly can do it that way.
We don't need to adopt this tonight, so let's...
We don't have a need to adopt it, I don't believe. Do we have a need to adopt it? No, this is something that in the history of Senator Riches, they have done, I think because they wanted the public to see every meeting and what was going to happen.
That's fine, and we'll publish it, but let's look at... I want to look at what a few other districts have done. I don't know if that information is still out there or not from last year or 2 years ago. So I'll take it as an action item, and maybe you can take us to kind of consolidate how you think that should be, and we'll discuss that at our next meeting.
The next meeting is January
14th. Okay.
And
we will be in our first, remember, our first presentation will be January 28th.
Yes.
So just remember the dates in which you're looking at. The faster you can get it to us, of course, it gives the principals the opportunity, the ample time to be able to really work on it.
Third item was...
Is there a way to put that on the website then?
We'll publish. We'll absolutely publish it so you'll know what's going on.
And just remember, as last year, we do it every year.
Every year it's on
last
the website.
Last year it's on there.
Slides.
No, the just budget, we did. What we do is we put, and I don't know if you'll
see it. It'll be up there.
That document right here, which is the budget calendar, is something that we put on the...
No, not that. I'm talking about what's talked about at the meeting here at the Board of Ed, so people who cannot be here can see it.
Okay, I always ask, and correct me if I'm wrong, every principal, do you do a PowerPoint presentation and directives? We do. I want to continue that practice, absolutely, Lori. We want everything to be up there.
No, can it be on the website?
Sure, their presentations? Oh, absolutely.
And last year, the administration was great. They gave it to the Board of Ed really a week to 2 weeks before. So we had a chance to even look at it. So
this year, it'll be put on the website?
After they show it to us,
yes.
So that brings us to the next item, is middle school midterm testing.
Yeah, I also put this on the agenda because I was, the last couple of months, I think the Board of Education received several emails from me with regards to the middle school testing committee. The middle school testing committee has had been, for several months, discussing midterm testing, the benefits of midterm testing. Should we be testing students in the middle of the year? Is it an appropriate benchmark? What do we do with those results? Does it take a lot of the class time away from students? Does the preparation for the midterm exams take away from the classroom instructional time? So they've been in this discussion for a couple months. At this point in time, I received my last email from Mrs. Bates and with an attachment that the board has from the testing committee. It's a big subject. So when I got the recommendation from the testing committee, their recommendation was to eliminate midterm testings at the middle school. They had multiple reasons. One being that the students are over-tested, they believe that, I really shouldn't get too far into it because I asked Mrs. Bates and some of the testing committee, some are parents, some are teachers, I know the middle school principal, but I just asked them to be here tonight because I thought it would be a good conversation for the board to have tonight. Whether we come up, because right now you still don't have a board policy on this issue, and I went extensively looking for board policies on this, and there are not many, if any, out there, but I'm working on that for you. But I think it's an important topic twofold. One, if the board really was supportive of this, if it was something we were going to do, I think that for this year, you cannot wait another month. I don't think if I'm preparing my lesson plans, I've probably already done my syllabus, obviously, in the beginning of the year, my concern is that it would go too late. So when I got this request, I immediately put it on here, thinking to myself, not that I'm pushing any decision, but I just thought it was important to put it out there tonight. Let the public hear your discussion on midterm testing. It was mentioned at the PTA meeting last night by Mrs. Bates, and I do know there are committee members here. So if you wish for them to speak or you want to just talk about it amongst yourself, go right ahead.
I think, Mr. Stewart, it would be wonderful for them to speak about it.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, would you mind if you're a member of the testing committee, and I know Mr. Caswell's a big he wants you at the microphone. So if you don't mind, members of the testing committee, Mrs. Bates, if you don't mind, just going up to the microphone.
And just please remember to say your name.
You should
just
know.
Just because we are taping it, so if you could just, you know, obviously say your name and your position, it would be helpful for people that listen.
Do you want to go grab the spotlight from the auditorium?
I just want to thank, I got to tell you, this year more than ever, we've been seeing more and more committees in the district. Last year we started the 5th to 6th grade transition. I thought that was wonderful between Mrs. Hardwick and Mrs. Bates. Great things came out of that. Now I see this newly formed testing committee at the middle school, which I think is wonderful. Mr. Turnow has, and I think Mr. Shower, those are two, actually, I guess...
They co-chair.
They volunteered and co-chaired, and I think that says a lot about the teachers in the building, and because this is extra time they're putting in for this committee. Mrs. Cohen as well, I think, you know, I'm sorry, Oma.
Yes.
The parent also takes time out of her schedule. I appreciate that. But I don't know if Mr. Turnoff, you want to talk about it first?
Sure, I'll speak quickly. As you already kind of surmised, we've met many, many hours now discussing, and initially our charge was how are we going to work midterms in the schedule. And after we kind of came up with roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, and the first thing we looked at, number one, is we obviously went from midterms after half days, the students went home, over a course of 4 days. So when we looked at math, English, social studies, and science, and giving midterms, we looked at the calendar and basically would have to work out that we'd have to do midterms now for over a period of 3 weeks. So initially that was kind of a shock. I mean, we're taking midterms for 4 days, now we have to break it out because we're working from a 2.5-hour testing block and we're breaking it down now to a 41-minute schedule. So when you're taking that kind of examination, you now have to break it down basically into what we're taking to a part A, part B, a part C. So now instead of subjecting a child, you know, to taking 1 day of testing, they're having to take, for example, a math midterm over Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Then we looked into those students, if they were at excused absences, how were we going to work out those makeup days. We also didn't want to correspond and overlap. So if we have a math term midterm going on, we didn't want to give the English at the same time. So we'd have to let the math complete, take over the LA. The following week, I think we looked at the schedule, it was January 12th. We'll go all the way out to January 30th. So that was a big block. Also, we had spoken about, for example, the students taking an English midterm. It's not really fair to pile on social studies homework, science homework, all different homeworks. So we all kind of came to the consensus that then you're really kind of taking away from all the other classes so they can concentrate on just that one midterm. So in reality, you're taking away that curriculum as well. Another challenge was those students with IEPs in extended time. If they're in taking an examination, for example, part one for a 41-minute class, and now they have extended time, as they're there for the extended time sitting, they're now missing their other curriculum classes. So they're taking a math test, now they're missing English. And the following day they're taking the test, and now they're missing social studies. And so on, over the course of 4 examinations, that's a lot of missed instruction time. The other big factor was makeups and when to do them, how to kind of put that on the schedule, how are we going to work makeups, do we do them all at the end, do we wait, get everything English done, and then move on to the next subject. That was another big topic as well. But I think all discussions, the biggest thing we came up with is we want to teach. It came up to about 10 days of instruction time that's going to be lost in terms of preparation, the actual test itself, and the consensus was pretty clear. We'd rather teach. We'd rather have the instruction time. The students would like to have the instruction time, and we just want to teach. And I think ultimately that's going to benefit them more than trying to cram in a midterm examination over 3 weeks, the added stress, the frustration. I think some of the students we met with, and they were running student council as well, they weren't aware that there were half days anymore. So when they came in, they were like, wait a second, you want us to take a midterm, and then I got to go sit in other classes and come back the next day over the course of 3 weeks? And we kind of saw the panic come in right away. Like, I don't know how I would prepare for that. We saw students last year break out into groups and at people's homes, and at least when they had a test, it was over with 1 day, they went on to the next examination, and 4 days it was over with. And now when we looked it down to it, it's like it's 3 weeks of testing, and it's just a lot of lost instruction time. So ultimately, that's what we came back with as a goal, is we would rather teach. We'd rather have the students there learning instead of taking a test, taking a test, and taking a test, and especially over the course of 3 weeks. So summation, if anybody please add, is what we kind of came out. That was our consensus. We'd rather teach, we'd rather have them learn, and just pass on the test. And also, I know one of the arguments, of course, was trying to, prepare them for a long test, and that argument went out the window right away because it's only 41 minutes. So we're not really, getting them ready to sit down and take a 2.5-hour examination because it's only 41 minutes. So we're just going to find a lot of positive aspects.
Just one of the board goals is specifically geared towards the ELA and the math assessments, right, in the spring. And I just want to make sure for the boards, you know, because if that's our goal, my concern always is it doesn't mean anything to a child. It doesn't go on their transcript. It's not like a Regents exam or an AP score. So if our goal, the Board of Education's goal, is to move forward in that area, is this benchmark going to hurt that, in your opinion, or the committee's opinion?
We had many discussions of that. Every discussion started and ended with the Board of Education goals. Whether we meet in a classroom or a Mrs. Bates room, which has these gigantic things with the Board of Education goals, and that really did focus all of our discussions. So ultimately, what we came down to is achieving those goals is instruction, and what benefit are they going to get taking a test? And first of all, we still have the benefit. Like I know for me, teaching science, if I want to, you know, I could call it a cumulative exam. I still have the option of giving the examination in there.
That's my question is, what's the, and maybe this is a silly question, but since you've gone there, to what's the difference between a midterm and a cumulative exam or a regular exam? Is it just how far back they need to go? Back
really,
to the beginning of the year and everything?
Great question. The sitting time. And we always talk about trying to prepare students to sit there for a 2.5-hour examination, because that will be their final. So that, I think that was one of the biggest bases of midterms, was getting the kids there and preparing them for a long period of time of taking the test. So if we can do that within our own instruction time and our own curriculum, how much more beneficial to the teacher, but more importantly, the student, and reaching those goals set by the Board of Education instead of having a student sit there for 2.5 hours. But now we don't have that anymore. So it really wasn't even a conversation that we came up with, because now we're within a constraint of a 41-minute period.
Did you discuss the assessment value? So you've given this midterm examination or not, and you can then go back and look at how they've done looking back?
Definitely. I think all across with teachers, and we really didn't find a lot of positives where we can sit down and say, wow, this midterm drove our instruction. We can more sit down with our own units exams, cumulative exams, chapter exams, what we already do, and use that to drive our instruction, to help differentiate our instruction and do all that. The benefit of a midterm, again, to put the children through 2.5 hours, and then the time of grading it, going through a wall, and trying to get information out there that's going to drive my instruction. I know for all of us, we all came up with the consensus we can rather do that in our own classrooms with those children in front of us and just going through the regular curriculum.
Is that pretty much the same for 6, 7, and 8? I mean, there's no real differentiation based on the age or the level?
Not that we found. Yeah. So it was, honestly, a really clear consensus for us. We kept coming back to the table trying to look at every avenue, how this could be positive, and we kind of kept coming back to the same answer for our students.
Do you think the students are going to buy in to the ELA and math in the spring more because of this? Or are they going to still be, you have opt-outs, you have concerns about a lot of exams, and we want them to take it seriously, you know, when they go take that exam. Do you think by doing this and going out to this community and saying, hey, we eliminated a test, would the buy-in factor be greater in the spring? Or you don't think that can be measured, or am I just, I don't want to put you on the spot.
Can I say then?
You
don't put that kind of pressure on them. Yes.
No, I think it's important. It's an important question, and I want to know what other school districts do.
We spoke about that. Actually, I think Mrs. Conway spoke to that at our back meeting. And to answer your question, performance and partially, there were teacher representatives from each grade level on the committee, which report they represented each grade 6, 7, and 8. And we do hope so, Mr. Stewart, because that really is our goal. I know Mr. Stewart, I'll show you that. The board goals are posted in my office, and that does drive a lot of our conversations. That's kind of what we're looking to. That's our goal at the end, set forth by the Board of Ed, and that we're supporting at the middle school. So we're hoping by saying, look, we don't want to overtest the children at middle school. My biggest question to the teachers on the committee was exactly what you just asked. Is this midterm crucial in your progress monitoring of the students throughout the year? And the teachers really kind of came back and said, no, Ms. Bates, we don't think it is. Our unit, chapter, or quarterly test that we give is sufficient for preparing them for the assessment.
What about all the middle schools? Any research by the committee on other middle schools and what they do? I mean, I know I was in four school districts, so I think I know them, but I'm just wondering.
I did contact middle school listserv. I heard back from about 15 to 20 of my colleagues. Most of them that I heard back from don't give midterms at the middle school.
A lot of them have gone away from it.
You do, and those are... The ones that said yes were either only for grade 8, if they're taking the Regents exam, of the algebra or earth science, those were only one period in length. So it was only 41 minutes, which is similar to the unit, the chapter test, and the Switcher and I spoke of. And if I could just go back and support, we asked a question before about the really what is the difference between the midterm. Another piece here that I think is important to mention is the weight of the midterm on the student's final GPA. That would also change. So the midterms traditionally count for 10% of the child's overall GPA at the end. The committee is recommending that those percentiles be put back into the quarters, so 22.5% for four quarters, and leave the final at 10%.
And Mr. Stewart, just so you know as well, we even looked at other school districts. In fact, we brought some data back from Pittsburgh schools, other schools where they're all coming back with, and they're all just cutting their testing time because they're finding very clearly they'd rather have the instruction, they'd rather have their students sitting there for instruction time instead of taking a test. So it's just another avenue for us to get that back.
And then, first of all, I want to commend all of you. Mrs. Bates, thank you very much, Mrs. Cohen and Mr. Chernow. And I know last year I spoke up about this because I was really concerned about the safety of our children. My own son, who is a sixth grader, and having four half days, and as a working parent, which I think most parents work now, what do you do with your children? You can't call in sick 4 days in a row or take four vacation days with any job that you have. So, you know, I'm really glad that you did look at this. And very, very recently, just about 4 weeks ago, I was invited to meet with one of the commissioners, particularly on the Common Core Learning Standards and Assessments. There was about 15 of us that were selected, so I was pretty proud to be one of them. And when I spoke with the commissioner, John DeGatti, we talked about the over-assessment and really had, it was a tremendous amount of conversation in regards to even the misconceptions and misunderstandings about the Common Core Learning Standards that, you know, we really, the state never intended, and this was exactly out of his mouth, for us to do it exactly the way that they said it. It was just a resource, so school districts didn't have to buy textbooks, and they had to do things like that. And we talked about a lot of the misconceptions, and the state, the commissioner said, he said, you know, the one, we were talking about the negatives, and he said, the kids are just being over-tested. He said, and we really hope that meeting with leaders, you know, administrative leaders throughout Suffolk County, that's why he came down, he said that we're going to start to spread the word that we really do need to analyze this because the data, which goes all the way back to when Commissioner Steiner was there, he had reported back then that there was absolutely no correlation between what the children were doing in school. In other words, their report card and the Regents exams had a very, very low correlation. So if a child was getting, to your point, Josh, say they got a 90 on their midterm, that didn't necessarily mean that they were going to get a 90 on their ELA. So when the teachers are saying that they would rather have more time to spend with children and do short little tests, because those short little tests actually tell you a lot more about a student and can help you change your pattern of instruction a lot quicker than waiting for this midterm to give you some information about a student. So I personally am very happy with that. I think it is fully aligned with what I heard from the deputy commissioner saying to us very recently. So, I mean, I for one will openly admit I'm very pleased to hear that the teachers would prefer to be teaching their students. That makes me very happy. I think that's what teachers should be doing. So,
one additional point very quickly, which is also was the interruption in the instruction, because you're coming to a full stop. So even especially the math teachers, well, like we're coming to a full halt. I've got to stop basically everything we're doing for now. We're talking those 3 weeks, and it just interrupts everything, especially with math, as it's so, you know, strategic line. One lesson to the next and the next, you're stopping. And it just, you know, especially from a math viewpoint, just let's keep going. So they found that incredibly more valuable. And Mr. Schauer and Ms. Connolly, Mr. Clancy, and all that, especially your math people, found that, like, we want them in math, so we want to teach.
I have always been a critic of too much testing. I mean, I think this is absolutely great that you guys are tackling it. And I'm behind what you guys want to do 1,000%. It's the best thing for our kids, and I think you should do it. I mean, my opinion is go for it. Starting now, they don't even need to take midterms this year, in my opinion. There's no gain. All there is additional stress on the kids and on you guys. And if we can eliminate that stress and increase their learning time, it's a no-brainer.
Tom or Wendy, do you have any?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can I just add, if
sure.
I think the board, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I think that if you want to at least give, I think I heard it clearly, but I want to make sure, because there's two things I'm going to ask if this Board of Education is supporting this. One, there's a lot of people not here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask the testing committee to make sure how you're going to go out there and explain this
mm-hmm.
in the best way possible to anybody that's not here tonight. And second, I would urge you to key in on the ELA in math, because if I'm a member of this community, it's important to hear the importance of when a student takes that test, the seriousness of it, especially when the Board of Education has that goal.
Mm-hmm.
I am concerned that this should help us
achieve a
buy-in
mm-hmm.
like we have never have seen before. I would hope that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I just, that's my own stuff. I would just hope and pray that that would happen from my standpoint, because I think you have a golden opportunity. You're making a monumental decision here in the Center Richard mm-hmm. Schools to eliminate midterms.
Mm-hmm.
I support it. I think you knew that from the beginning, but I didn't want to come out. I wanted to hear the board and see if they matched my
mm-hmm.
feelings. But you got to make sure as a committee that those two things happen. I would just strongly recommend that.
Mr. Stewart, I can just assure you those were looked at time and time over and over. And again, it wasn't the intention. We didn't sit down and go, eliminate it. It was, let's look at testing. And every avenue can bring us back to the same answer. And one of those, again, was the goals of the Board of Education. And Mr. Unger, again, back to your comments, very powerful. Running student councils, some students in there who are very high academically. The stress level, they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They didn't even know that we didn't have half days. And they're like, what do you mean we don't have half days? There's no way I'm going to be able to prepare for this. Like, the stress level was just kind of going through the roof. And that was really our whole discussion in student council last time was, we'll get through this. And students, you can see the path. Like, I have no idea how I prepare now for 3 weeks of midterms when I know what I went through, especially our 7th and 8th graders. And I went through 4 days. I kind of got through that. Now I'm looking at 3 weeks of testing, and you can see even the stress with that. So a very good point as well.
And is that, so when you look at 8th grade and they're taking the math and earth science regents at the end of the year, I mean, and I guess, it's the same concept as the ELA, that, they're taking a long test at the end of the year. You don't believe even at that level there's any impact to taking away that prep? And if the answer is no, which I think you've said over and over, is fine. What other ways do we prep them to sit for 2.5 hours? Because that's what you said, the biggest deal is it's sitting for 2.5 hours. How do you get there?
So they're not sitting for 2.5 hours anymore. They have days. So
what, the regents, I'm saying for the regents, the prep for that regents.
Don't.
They've already sat for 2.5 hours.
Well,
they've already done it in 6th and 7th grade.
Well, Mr. Shower, not
the
committee. What he shared, he teaches the optional class in 8th grade. He's giving quarterly this year to prepare students, and again, that's only 41 minutes, but that's one of his ways that he's monitoring progress. One of the changes that we made last year that we're going to continue this year is during the 8th grade math assessments. For the first time last year, the students in algebra and earth science didn't have to sit in Santa Rosa for the math assessment and the 8th grade science assessment. During that time, we freed up Mr. Shower and Mr. Spicer from their property assignments, and they worked with those students in algebra and earth science for an extended period of time to prepare for the Regents exam. So we're going to continue that this year.
Yep, and remember, we have doubled the amount of students. And this
mm-hmm.
is a great pat on the back to Mr. Shower and all the teachers. We have doubled the amount of students this year that are taking earth science
mm-hmm.
and the math Regents exam in 8th grade. It's a monumental time here. I would ask you just to do one more favor, and I'm sorry, I know I keep cutting in. I really would like the committee to research switching the earth science with the biology,
okay.
With the living environment. I'm sorry, I hold this. Living environment, I strongly believe, and have as a high school principal, that the students should be taking that living environment first
mm-hmm.
and then taking the earth science second. So I think as a committee, it's something I would address. I know how well we do on both exams,
mm-hmm.
But I would research that, and I think that should possibly be a recommendation in the future, but that's my own opinion.
Mr. Stewart, just because you opened the window to the conference on Monday with Mr. Spicer, science conference, Western Suffolk BOCES, and it was awesome to hear from him having those two sections, and he goes, I was a little apprehensive, especially in that second section, and he goes, and all I've seen is those other kids all come to a whole new level.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's amazing to see. And he goes, we can keep growing that, because I really wasn't kind of sure, but now that we're actually doing it, to see those students now coming up, and he goes, it was amazing. So really hearing to see. So it was not only a great conference, but hear that from him, you know, just some feedback, as you had just said. You said it's really, really going well, yeah. And those students are just really.
Well, I like to watch. I know Mrs. Bates has been showing me, be sending me emails and showing me specific students that would have not gotten into the course, how they're doing academically versus the top group that we know we're going to go in there. And it's a very interesting, I would never bring that out, in, of course, with names and stuff, but exactly what you're saying, you raise the bar.
And
it's amazing what the students do.
And we hope even next year that gets better, especially with what we have now in place in sixth grade. And obviously, thank you, obviously, Ms. Bates and yourself to support the whole new program in sixth grade. It's now an integrated science piece. So I have some seventh and eighth graders, in fact, even coming down, and when they come in, they go, wait, what are you can't be doing that now. We're doing now in eighth grade. That's not fair. We didn't learn that. So they're really getting that more of a foundation in what they're doing. So when they get to life science in seventh grade and eighth grade, and I'm already trying to get my sixth graders up there, like earth science, read honors class. And they're like, yeah, we're excited. So two sections, like, hope all of you are in it. You know,
and for Mr. Goal, so. For Mr. Shower, he's not here, and Mr. Spicer, to take the leap of faith, when we all know even their own personal evaluations are based on it, I cannot commend them enough to this community that they, that the students I knew would rise. The teachers had to also have a buy-in. They did, and I commend them. I know that I did.
Do we offer our eighth graders, because this is their first introduction to Regents classes and exams, do we offer them, now I'm going back a lot of years, class of 79 here, when I first started, you know, you'd have the Barron's book, I believe it was, and you would actually take, you know, 3 years ago's Regents exam, so that would prepare you for keeping your butt in a chair that long and taking an exam. Do we do that?
Mr. Shower actually offers Regents review classes. I don't know if anybody here has students that have went through them already, but if you do, I'm sure you will sing during me and singing his praises, but he actually comes at night for hours. I think they go from 6 to 9 at night, and he offers Regents review classes on his own time from mathematics and algebra. And in earth science, there is a Regents review book that you support through the science department.
So we are really getting them used to being stuck in that chair for that long, because it is a long time. I mean, really. I mean,
and what's the uptake on that? How many? What percentage of our students come to that, to the nighttime sessions?
Last year, and we'll be interested to see this year. We'll probably need a larger venue, or we'll have to break it up. But last year, he had almost his whole section there. I mean, I'm sure if anybody. I know he had most. I think the entire class, if not maybe one child in the thing. But I would go in and visit, and it was packed last year.
And Mr. Foster's the backup as well, even starting down in sixth grade, there's certain days after school. Mr. Clancy does the same thing with math, and the room's packed. And he's got pizzas being delivered through the window as well. You got and the room's full. And it's amazing to see him go home and going, oh my God, you're still here, and the room's packed. Like literally kids standing on the, you know, in the heaters in the back, because that's how full the room is. So I think it's also to those students that are coming in on their own time as well, and they're there to learn. So it's some really cool stuff.
Thank you very much. Is there a specific action that the board needs to take?
The board does not have a policy, but like I said, I thought it was important enough. We had discussed about trimesters and different things that Clayton Huey. I wanted to get a sense from the board. I get a sense, of the same sense I had, that you are supportive of this. The administration will just move forward with the direction, but I just wanted it in public.
And I very much appreciate the work that the committee did in evaluating this and analyzing what's best and how best to utilize that time.
Thank you for allowing us time to speak, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the next section of the agenda, questions and comments from the community on items not on the agenda. Anybody? Yes, sir. Yeah. If anybody, if there's a number of them, please line up. Everybody's going to have 3 minutes to answer the questions, and there'll be one, you'll have one opportunity, so we're not going to go back around.
I will hold to 3 minutes.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. Ron Navis for the record. Got a question, Josh. A couple years ago, we had a vote that was similarly poor. We lost a budget vote, and since that time, we've averaged somewhere around 600 no votes. So I am very encouraged by Dr. Turnow's suggestion of a survey. That survey should also indicate what would encourage people to vote. So I think we'll still get the 600 no votes year to year, regardless of what the topics are. But you and I sat together in the audience at a couple of committees, Josh, and we were very critical. A number of the people in the committee, community were critical of a Board of Education that put up a budget for the public to vote down. And I remember the quote at that time was, "We put it out there to pierce the cap and let the community decide," even though the board members didn't all support that budget. I am curious, and I think a number of members of the community would like to know, if this bond proposal was universally supported by individual board members. Now, I do realize that the board members did vote unanimously to put it up, but for transparency, I think the community has a right to know if that was a unanimous decision on the contents. And going forward with the next committee, would that board take a stand on the contents of the proposal and not just whether or not the cover of a community committee is sufficient to allow the vote to go forward?
So I think you've got two questions. I'm going to restate them to make sure that I've got it right. And I think the first question was each individual board member supportive of putting it up to vote? So to your point...
No, that answer was... You have answered that as unanimous. I was curious about...
The personal voting decision.
Of the content. Okay. Did they support the committee's recommendation?
And when you're talking, I looked over to the lawyer. To the board, you're not obligated to disclose how you specifically voted and whether you approve. You may, if you'd like, to do so.
So it's optional.
It's
would any board member like?
Just like you're not obligated
sure.
to tell how you voted.
That's respectful. Are any of the board members willing to state whether or not they were supportive or opposed to the content for their constituents?
Why though? Why do you want to?
There is an underlying thought that after 3 years of committees and it was cut down a number of times, and it was tabled a number of times, that there are committee members or board members that did not agree with the content of it and were strong-armed into coming out into public and supporting it. I don't know if that's true, but there is a constant undercurrent that board members come out of private votes and are strong-armed into approving of a unanimous vote when maybe their opinions weren't unanimous, and their constituents should know where they stand on major issues such as this.
But I don't know if it's strong arm. It's consensus, and that's a part of being on a committee, is you work your way through a consensus. And consensus means that you may not be fully supportive of something, but you're supportive enough that you then will agree to go forward. And if we're going to go forward and put this forth to the community again, I mean, I'll be glad to tell you how I voted and how I felt about it, but I don't quite understand polling the board and doing that, how that will bring us together. I think it would be more divisive at this point to say who was and who wasn't, and we're going to try to move forward and see where we can go from here. And to say, I mean, say I was annoyed that somebody wasn't as supportive or something as I was. That's an internal thing, and that's my opinion. Perhaps, but I don't see how that's going to move forward. I'm just not sure.
Well, I think, and again, I don't want to go over my time, but I think it's instructive to the constituents to understand if consensus is one thing. There's a little sausage to be made in the back, and you don't always need to see the details of an argument,
right,
which I'm sure much of is confidential. But if the committee, if the board comes out and says, you know, it was highly divisive, but we decided to let the community decide, I think we have a right to know if the facility committee's proposals were accepted or just thrown out to the community to vote down. The turnout was very low for something of that level, and I know personally that there are constituencies amongst board members that have come out in numbers to vote to support things that their candidates are passionate about. And many people didn't turn out last night.
I'd be happy to answer.
I would appreciate that.
I'd be happy to answer. I thought the bond was too high. I stated in September, I believe I was sitting in this chair right here, when Josh asked, he asked us all, he told us all to see what we thought, you know, from a dollar's perspective, and I said 15. Based off last night's results, I think I was dead wrong anyway, but I said 15. And I think at that time it was 16 and change, around 17. And from that point it went up. So I was not comfortable. But, that being said, as I had said at the last meeting, it's not for me to decide whether the community gets to vote. It's for me to decide to let the community vote at some point. 2+ years is more than enough. We had to move forward. We had to find out what last night's results were going to be, whether positive or negative. They turned out to be negative. The nays outweighed the yays. So now we know we have to set a different path. If the results were the opposite, we would know our path already. But we needed to find out what that path was, and it's been over 2 years since this is going on. We had to do something. I made a mistake. I will be the first to admit it. I made a mistake. I should have tried to slow it down a little bit from a board perspective and have some more discussion. But I didn't really want to slow it down too much, you know, because, like I said, it's been 2 years. We had to... I can't say it because people in the audience... But the term, you know, blow or get off the pot, you know, it had to be done. And for that reason, I voted for it. And it was a unanimous vote to put it to the public. I'll tell you how I voted. I voted no, because I don't like debt. And I certainly do not like debt as a perpetuating or perpetual funding source. Debt is necessary at times. And it is still necessary because we have very vital, critical needs that need addressed. But that being said, it was too much money for me to swallow. Not from a tax perspective, because I could afford the $200 a year. From a philosophical perspective, it was too much money. That's why I voted no, and that's why I voted to let you guys decide. I hope that answers your question.
I do, and I thoroughly appreciate you saying that, because it's not a matter of whether a particular individual is for it or against it. Everyone has their right to make a vote. And I do appreciate you doing it, and I wish that this board going forward on this topic and amongst others brings some of that discussion to the public. A unanimous vote in the back room isn't always the best way to engender trust. I have more respect for you today, Mr. Unger, than I did coming in, and I do appreciate your answer.
And let me also say, please, no disrespect to the Facilities Committee. Artie and everybody, you know, you all did exactly what you were asked to do. I mean, it was us. We accepted that recommendation. We put it to you guys for the vote.
And I think
the Facilities Committee did.
To Gary's
exactly
point, the process worked, right? I mean, we've gone to a Facilities Committee. But to Gary's point, the process worked. We went to a Facilities Committee.
Sorry.
They told us, here's what we believe the work needs to get done. We looked at it as a board and said, you know, whether or not you personally support it, to Gary's point, is certainly absolutely fair. You're an individual voter as well as a board member, but let's let the community decide what we think. And as I said at the beginning, I read through the note, part of our job now is to figure out why. Was it, to Gary's point, that people couldn't afford it? He's saying no, it wasn't, in his case, not. It was a philosophical reason. Is it because truly there are that many people that can't afford it? Perhaps. I don't know the answer to that. Or is it that... they believe that they can afford it. Philosophically, they're fine, but too much work was there. Because certainly, there is some subset, as many people have said, work that absolutely needs to get done. We have buckets. We have, you know. So.
Well, and Ron, just to add to that, I have two older children that are 24 and 23. Then I have two younger children. Besides Annette Rank, I think a lot of you people, and if I'm, Annette and I are probably the two people that have had two sets of families, sort of. The same facilities have been there as far as bathrooms. I was disappointed in the bathrooms 15 years ago. They're the same bathrooms. So there's certain things that, but the other truth statement is when I first moved here at 22 years ago with the 4 and a 5 year old, I had $25 a week for food. I couldn't have afforded the bond. So I always kind of sit back and, you know, I'm very appreciative of what I have now. But there was a time in my life where I wouldn't have been able to say yes because I really couldn't say yes because I had to feed kids. So I think, you know, people, I think what this board did is because, and I was very vocal at the Facilities Committee when it was $30 million, and I tackled and basically said that the enrollment study was wrong, and it was. And I was the one that said it has to be redone. So I've been vocal. And so much that I'd spent a lot of my own personal time statistically looking at it and recognizing that there was a flaw in it. And the administration was great, and they sent it back out to Western Suffolk because we've lost over 17,000 students in Suffolk County. I know that no one's really growing. You know, it was an impossible, we're stabilizing in this district, but we're certainly not growing. So I had concerns in the beginning, and I voiced them publicly. There was no backdoor arrangements or anything else. I voiced them. The facility committee, I think, really, really tried hard. It's a lot to do. It's a huge undertaking, and I know when I came on the board last year, it was already in the process, and this year it just had to get out there and just had to be done.
But to that point, and this is something that I think is very, very important, our pulse and what we kind of, at least what I kind of tried to understand through talking to the facilities committee is what the members of the committee felt that was appropriate to put up. And Mr. Garrison, not to put you on the spot, but as we went through that process, I constantly listened to what everybody was saying, and I got the feeling that, you know, that there would be significant support for those proposals. That being said, there were 7, 10, 15 people that constituted the committee at a time. So obviously, it was not representative of the entire community and the thoughts of the community. So part of what we want to do, and to go back to the survey concept, is to really get that, because the people that are here, the people that want to be involved, are here and are involved. Those that may not want to be involved but are really focused on what's going on anyway will get that input.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Evelyn Preston, and I am a freshman here at Santa Marta's High School, and I am also the president of the GSI. I just wanted to start off by saying that I am so thankful and for the board helping me get helping our club get started, and and so far we've been very successful, and that we've had a lot of attendance, and we're very active, and we're having a lot of meetings, and we also had a school-wide event called National Coming Out Day, and it's not literally coming out. It's coming out as an ally to the LGBT, and that's what these ribbons are, and that's what everyone else is wearing. And I would, if you guys don't mind, I would like to hand out a ribbon to each and every one of you.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Emily. Well done.
But from that aside, we have been working with our advisor for a while, and we have recently discovered that the person that we have been working with and has been helping us get started with our club has not been appointed to be our actual advisor, and we're very disappointed and very upset about that. And we would just like to express how sad and angry we are about her not being our advisor. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm Spencer Bouchet. I'm the senior class president and the vice president of Gay Straight Alliance. The club has been very successful for the short time that's actually been passed. And again, thank you so much to the board for being behind us and for passing it, and, you know, for really being passionate about the issue that we think is very significant to us and the students that are involved with it. The issues that I personally feel, and that I know many students feel, and certain staff members have felt, is that this club has faced a lot of uphill battles getting passed, and has faced a lot of, you know, back and forth. And now this, with our advisor who has been trying to do it for, not our advisor, but a staff member that's been trying to, you know, really get it pushed for 3 years now, as, you know, a person that we've been able to go to with our issues with the club, or even personal issues as a person, as a student, you know, very good person that we've all developed a connection with and a relationship with. I wish that the board would and administration would make things clear for students and for staff members on how to get clubs started. Really, the procedures I felt are almost made up as their go. They really are, once one thing happens, another thing has to be set back and then done again and then this. And the fact of the matter is, a club shouldn't take 3 years to start. It should take 3 days, maybe. I mean, it just shouldn't be that difficult of a process. And I feel as though students that have been the forefront and have been spearheading it and have been, you know, really pushing it should be able to pick their own advisor and should be able to, you know, if we're mature enough to make our clubs, should we be mature enough to make our own decisions for ourselves and to be able to understand the person and staff member that we feel as though is best qualified for what we want. So that's just what I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening. Hi, my name is Betsy Von Hassel, and I'm a community member and a parent of the president of the GSA. And I would just like to say my sincerest thanks to the board for recognizing the importance of having a GSA in Center Moriches. Without you, I know this would truly not be possible. So I am truly grateful that you recognize the importance of having it and that it's going to meet your needs as far as Board of Education goals. It's one of the few clubs that can actually help you, because many GLBT students have high rates of absenteeism, also drug and alcohol abuse, which definitely affects their grades. So this can actually help you meet your goals. That being said, I'd like to echo the sentiments to the students. A GSA is very unique because it is a student-run club. It is not a club that is made up by a staff member. It is not a club that comes to fruition because there was an interest by a group that already existed, whether it's art or robotics. This is student-driven, and it has unique qualities in that they choose their advisor because that person has unique characteristics, because they have created a warm and welcoming environment, because somehow they have demonstrated to these students that they would be a go-to person, a safe person, that they could confide in. Oftentimes in a GSA club meeting, there might be a person, a student that has not come out at home or in school and may find that safe place to do so in that classroom during that club. And that's only going to happen if they're comfortable with the staff member. And I'm sure the staff member that has been chosen may be very appropriate, but that person was not chosen by the students. And that is why this club is unique, because not everyone can start a running club. Not everyone has the unique ability to connect with GLBT students. I do also feel that this has been an uphill battle for these students. It has been 3 years that I know of. I started last spring, and I also found the process very confusing. I had to have numerous meetings. I actually came here a couple times and asked questions. And you know what? They were very unclear. In fact, the best explanation I got about starting up a club was given at last meeting when the running club that wants to start up was asked how to start up a club. So I find it very frustrating, and I'm sure these kids do. Also, it was supposed to be on tonight's agenda that their advisor was going to be appointed. I was told it was going to be on the agenda. So now that puts this club, again, without a formal advisor until January 14th. So I really respectfully ask that we start to get a move on this and maybe have the administration really consider the needs of the students. I don't want to speculate why their advisor wasn't chosen, and I'd like to think that it was I'm sure there was a lot of thought put into it. I'm going to be very careful with my words here, and I'd like to keep an open relationship so that we can continue this discussion, unless, of course, you would like to put it on the agenda and have the student's advisor that they chose put on tonight's agenda if you want to go into executive session, so that these kids can actually have a bright holiday and a new year going into the new semester, knowing that their club is actually approved and going to run. Thank you.
motion to adjourn to executive session to discuss a personnel matter. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carried. We're also going to take 5 minutes because.
Yes, please.
Motion to come out of executive session back into regular session.
Motion.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
So we're gonna add an agenda item which Ms. Galliard is gonna help gonna read through at this point.
Okay. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves Pilar Marino for the GSA advisor for the 2014-2015 school year on a prorated stipend.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
I respect the board's decision. I am very disappointed, but thank you for your consideration. And thank you for your support of the GSA.
Hi, I'm back. Still Larry Pasciuti. I just would like to ask the district attorney a question or
address something towards the district attorney. It's up to the board. That didn't sound like they want nothing.
It's up to you. Give it to the board.
This is a copy of the open meetings. This is up to pass off for everybody.
What's the question?
Going back to the item 11 agenda that I had a question and a comment about earlier, if you look at section 105 of the Committee on Open Government or the Open Meetings Law, there's specific enumerated items that you can go into executive session for. What one of those items is a contract that once it's approved is public information. What one of those items covers you going into executive session?
With Mr. Foster, do you mind if I
go ahead,
answer?
Sure.
Since I will not be disclosing the nature of the contract, that will be coming out at, can you hear me? Is this on? Okay, great. And that will be made public at a later time. It could be one of several of these. It could be matters which imperil the public safety if disclosed. It could be a contract with some type of agency that the district's using for security purposes. Just going through it.
Counselor, with respect, the interpretation of that is that the disclosure of the information would jeopardize our safety.
That's right.
The public safety.
That's what I'm saying. So it could be that. It could be the medical, financial, credit, or employment history of a particular person or corporation or matters leading to the appointment or employment, because what could happen with that is that they could have gone into executive session to discuss the background information regarding that contract. And as I said, this is something that will come out at a later time. It could be something with the proposed acquisition, sale, or lease of real property. So it could be any of those.
Okay. My point being is also, if you read further into the Committee on Open Government and read their findings, mm-hmm. Okay, anything that would be released under a Freedom of Information request can be discussed in open session at a board. And it's my feeling that the Board of Education, for many, many years, and I'm not singling any individual out here, this has been going on for years in this community, uses the executive session as a shroud to hide information from the community. Up to and including, as I said earlier, the process and the procedure to go into executive session is very specific in that you are supposed to take the vote and announce why you are going into executive session. This was never done with that contract. So I will say right now that your vote tonight for that contract was in essence illegal because you never legally went into, you were never legally allowed to discuss it in executive session when you did. And if you want to know one of the reasons why bonds and budgets fail in this community, it's because there's a lack of trust. If we cannot, as a community, trust you with simple procedural matters, how are we going to trust you with nearly $20 million of our dollars? Our latest board election, two of the candidates, Josh and Gary, you guys ran on fiscal responsibility and transparency. And I'm asking you to increase the transparency. We're falling into the same habits that past boards have done. And we really don't need to. We're a community here. The idea of executive session is really to take care of these items, to cover an employee's privacy, to not blow the cover of an undercover officer. It's not to discuss things that you might be embarrassed talking about or something like that.
Thank you.
Lisa Marin. I would like to, and I don't think you can answer my question right away, but maybe by the next meeting, I would like to know if there's any scope of the work that can be started on right away. There's like a lot, there is a lot of items in the bond that failed, and a lot of the items are pretty, I'm concerned, and I think there's other people that are concerned, and if you could at some point put it on an agenda, maybe the roof or the cesspools, I think those are the major ones that I know we wouldn't get the reimbursement, but that maybe we could establish a way of paying for them other than the bond. And as an elementary parent, I'm pretty concerned about the leaking roofs and the cesspools for many reasons, and I would like to see work started before we go through the whole facilities committee process again. So, like I said, I know you probably just can't come off the top of your head, but maybe put it on an upcoming agenda or, set aside some time to talk about it.
Thank you. So this is obviously going to be part of our ongoing discussion. But to do any work, no matter how important it is, we need money to pay for that work. And that money can come from, two places. Carrie can tell me if I'm wrong, but effectively community approving a bond or our operating budget. So that's why as we get into, and if there's another place, jump in.
And capital projects require voter approval.
Right. So
no matter if it's through the general fund or through a bond, it requires voter approval.
Yeah, so the point would be there, if we were going to do a capital project, i.e.
a new roof.
Replace the entire roof.
Okay.
It would be a community vote, even if we were going to come out of our operating budget. So we will go back through over the coming months and determine, those things we talked about with the facilities committee. What exactly needs to get done? What are the maintenance items? And then when we understand why it's been voted down, and I understand what you're saying, that there are these things that are so critical. Without the money and without the approval, we can't do them. So we need to figure out the next steps. This just was voted down yesterday. What we've come up with is to understand to understand why it was voted down and what the proper course of action is to move forward.
Okay, and I don't mean to sound dramatic, but if the cesspool collapses, we have money to fix it, but we can't preemptively do it without a voter approval.
Yeah, I mean, if there's an emergency, how does that work, Carol?
You would have to apply to the commissioner and...
So she said you'd have to apply to the commissioner if there were an
emergency. If it was an emergency, you could apply to the state for approval.
Also,
not half a million or $2 million.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, John, actually, this would be more for you, I think. We couldn't do the roof or the cesspool regardless because those really have to be done when school is out of session. Is that correct? I think that was talked about.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Without
the cesspool, the cesspool is something that required significant time for permitting. So even had the bond passed, that wasn't a this summer item. That was something the following summer. So, as critical as it is, there are many, many, many steps. So we're going to take the time to get this right. We're going to look, we're going to hear from the community, and it'll go back. But it will not be something that comes back in a week or a month or 2 months. There's just so much that has to come into it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Carol Spalzer.
What defines a capital project insofar as a dollar amount or, you know, that we cannot do without voter approval?
Right. I believe the regulations say it's over $10,000.
Mm-hmm. And it's also the nature of the work that's being done.
Right.
$10,000, is that's the threshold?
Mm-hmm. It's also the nature of the work that's being done.
Right.
It's a combination of the two or one or the other?
If I remember correctly, and I can double check, I think it's a combination.
Since we were talking about testing, I'd like to know, is our school scheduled for field testing as we were last year for the ELA and the math?
I believe the park is one of the things I think that was discussed with the administration. We've rejected the request of the state at this point in time. Correct me if I'm wrong. In fact, all three principals, I think, in the last couple of days did reject that. If there's field testing done, that's something that is mandated by the state. We usually receive something from them. At this point in time, did we have any right now that we have mandated? I think one that I can think of, but Ms. Harper?
We have eight testing in January that will take place towards the end of January. It is only for grade four. And we don't find out about the field testing until closer to the actual ELA and math testing.
Great.
One grade and another full day. And we turned down PARC because we were doing the. We decided not to do PARC for some of the same examples that the committee was giving.
But sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, when it's mandated by the state,
right.
We don't have the ability to say no.
Correct.
Yeah. Mr. Stewart, I know what NAEP is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what NAEP is, Josh? No, I didn't think so. Could you explain to the public what NAEP is?
Go ahead. Ms. Bates, do you know what
NAEP is? It's a national assessment, and so they are going to be, it's sort of norms, what the expectations are on a national level. And so
it's eighth grade, for example, for me, it's different times, my February 5th, Mr. Caswell's February 25th, this part of January, and one grade for school, and it pretty much it's different than field testing. We don't find out about field testing until later. This is at a national level, so we were on a conference call today. Actually, Mr. Caswell and I have been to the director of me to schedule it, and it's only a specific number of students. So what happens is we actually have to send them the entire eighth grade list, and they choose.
And what are they testing in?
Well, actually, the purpose of this test is they're introducing tablets because they want to see these tablets, and they want to see how they're going to make the transition from pen and paper test to electronic paper test.
They actually bring the tablets to us. We're going to be doing it here at the library.
It's not based on results.
So it's more procedural than subject matter.
Right, but the NAEP was conceived because it's how countries are able, when we hear studies like in Finland, in this country, they're doing better in math, that's where the NAEP generated from. So they do these periodic tests, and in particular with the tablets, because the commissioner is trying to understand, get a better assessment, because all the superintendents have been very vocal, thank goodness, about what does this mean to our students, not just testing-wise, but budget-wise, because you have to have an infrastructure that supports the tablets. And there are specific requirements on the tablets as well. So it gives them, when the administration does this, it gives, hopefully, the Commissioner of Education some accurate data so he makes better decisions. Would that be?
Absolutely.
And that's for a national assessment of educational progress.
Right.
Thank you.
So the field testing is not in alignment with the NAEP. The field testing is asking two different things, right? A mango and an orange. So
no, it's a pineapple, that one.
Well, Puerto Rico is a mango. So last year we did participate in field testing. However, I did come to the Board of Ed and asked, what was our district's policy for parents who wanted to opt out of field testing? So I want to know, will that policy continue this year if parents opt out of field testing if we are selected to participate in field testing?
and correct me if I'm wrong, principals, if a parent wants to opt out of an exam, correct me if I'm wrong, we have accommodated them as a superintendent. If you remember last year, and I did mention, I took a stance on the issue of opting out. I don't encourage it as superintendent. However, we accommodate the students. We want them to feel comfortable that they opt out. That's mostly important to me. It's an individual family decision. But we wholeheartedly accept it. We do not believe in the sit and stare. I think I said that again last year as well. But we do accept opt-out students.
Okay, thank you. And then another question on item 19. This is your 7613 policy reading.
Chapter.
Yeah, go on. What's
right?
I was just wondering, can anyone tell me what system does our district use to access these IEPs electronically?
IEP Direct.
Okay.
There's actually a link to IEP Direct that takes you directly to the child's IEP or the 504 program.
So who does the training?
What happens is when a teacher sees a purple, it's got a little purple token, and they click on it, it's an IEP viewer. They can view the IEP so they're in accordance with Chapter 408.
So does it record who viewed?
It does behind the scenes, yes it does.
So that's how you know who actually viewed? Or printed the IEP? Is that accurate?
You can ask Mr. Soto what their policy is here, but because I don't want to speak for you.
Can internally look at sort of like the back door of it in terms of the e-school itself to determine who actually accesses the link that's attached to that purple dot that's an indicator that a child has an IEP. Also, additionally, we have something that's called a declaration form that all of our teachers and staff members sign at the beginning of the year that declares that individual has looked at the child IEP or 504 plan prior to working with that particular student. So it's two internal mechanisms that we have in place.
So I'm not sure if I understood it correctly. So it does recognize who viewed the IEP?
Yes, it does.
Does it also recognize who printed the IEP?
They cannot
have to be hand delivered to some people. Say, a related service provider, perhaps, or
they have viewing rights.
Can we follow up just because we've been well over 3 minutes, and I certainly respect your question. Just if you've got a specific question on this, it's very narrow. If you could follow up with an email to administration, and we'll get you the answers. But I just want to. We're trying to keep the 3 minutes. I want to move on. Thank you. Does anybody else have any other questions? Yes.
We brought up, I'm Sandy Gillis Unger. We brought up at the last board meeting asking if there was Plan B. I'm a nurse for a living. I always have Plan B when I'm with a patient. We always have something second, that we can go to. I think that when you're looking at any kind of bond, that there should always be a backup plan. With our being able to get some of the monies for the new thing that was passed in Albany, with security, will that be able to accomplish any of these doors or the locks or anything like that we had on our list?
All of those things are things that we're going to look at over the term, absolutely.
Okay, the second part of my question is, how are we doing on the hiring policy?
We are working through a variety of policies, and as we're done with those policies, we'll put them up.
Okay. Another question I have for Mr. Stewart is, what's going on with the busing at Clayton Dewey?
What does that mean?
They're getting out. They can't leave before 3:15 now. Are you aware of anything with the busing?
Our dismissal time is 3:15.
So they used to leave. I guess somebody was upset. Now they're sitting on the buses more. Yeah, it seemed like they're coming out the door very quickly, and still while the wheelchairs are being loaded on, usually you can't do that. You have to load your wheelchair people on first.
Are you talking about the minibuses in the back of the building?
In the back of the building, the minibuses.
There hasn't been one issue brought to our attention, and that happened.
So there's no change in the...
No.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mary McGillis, I guess most of you know, Josh and Gary know, I supported them and I asked the community to support them last year. Gary probably hates me at this point. But as far as the bond that went up, many people that I spoke to said if we had had just covering the elementary school, it might have gone through. But the majority said, Miriam, we got the same old board as we had before. I thought there was going to be a change. And that is the thing that bothers me the most. And I've lived here almost 50 years. My maiden name is Kayla. The relatives are from here. And I always had support at the school. And I've been very disappointed, as most of you know, the last couple of years. I give Artie a lot of credit with the facilities committee. They've worked hard. But you've got to do certain things. And I think the community showed you that yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Kathy Rasso. I don't usually speak at these things, but I've been sitting through budget presentations for 18 years. I would just like to suggest that if the principals and everybody are going to do their own presentation, that they not have to be red line by line, okay, that they don't have to say every line that's on there and what we can see it, and that if they just talk about changes, additions, things that have been taken out of the program that would affect the numbers that are up there, and then post their presentation on the website, like was already suggested, so those can be seen. That's just after sitting through them for 18 years. I really appreciate it. We don't need the line. We don't need it read to us. What's up on the screen?
We used to have directors.
Okay. What?
We used to have directors.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
There you go.
Thanks. Are there any other questions, comments? Thank you. I want to remind everybody that the next Board of Education meeting will be on January 14th at 7:30 p.m. here in the library. So we have...
Thank everybody for coming. You know what? There's some new faces here. Come back. Come back. Seriously. You know what? I said it before and I'll say it again. We don't have all the answers. The more you guys out there that ask more questions, we're going to get the answers we need. So come back.
And bring someone.
Yeah. Bring a couple.
Bring your neighbor.
And if your kids want to speak, bring them, because when the kids speak, it's the greatest thing.
Motion to enter executive session for the following three purposes: to discuss collective negotiations pursuant to Article 14 of the Civil Service Law, to discuss the financial credit history of a particular person or corporation, matters leading to the appointment, of a particular person or corporation, and the proposed acquisition, sale, or lease of real property, the proposed acquisition of securities, or sale of or sale or exchange of securities held by such public body, but only when such public body. Okay, thanks. You sure you don't want that on the motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you.